Wow, y'all sounded great this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. You glad to be out today?
Amen.
It's peaceful in here. And I want you to know that God loves you. So you can just look to the neighbor closest to you and just tell them that God really loves you. And you see how that made them smile? Isn't that wonderful? Hey, Christy,
yes, sir.
God loves you so much.
He loves you too, but I'm not sure about Bob.
Not sure about Bob. Oh, my goodness. I believe he loves Bob too. Amen, amen. It's certainly good to see you here. We're delighted and excited that you're here today and that you tuned in to watch us today. I've been studying this message, and it's in John 10, verse 10. And as we go there today, I just want to share something with you that God has placed on my heart as I studied this toward the end of the week. I don't know if you've ever had this, that you've done this, but I know you've probably seen it. Those infomercials on TV that pop up and promise all these things that they can't measure up to. And one of the things that I remember distinctly that we sold when I worked at Finger Hut Companies that tempted me. And it said, if the promise was, if you have a bald spot on your head, that you could buy this product and have instant hair. And I thought, wow. All of a sudden, one day at Finger Hut, there was a box of it that broke open, and it came to us in quality control, and I looked at it, and it was a piece of cardboard that had a circle that fit most heads. And then it had these cans of spray. Red, black, brown, blonde, and then it had salt and pepper, and I thought, well, I fit that. Maybe I ought to get that, since it's going. But I began to think about that, and I thought, that might not measure up. Because if I sprayed that on my head, on the bald spot, and had instant hair, then I might be outside mowing or weed eating or something, and sweat began to come down. And I thought, well, if that sweat starts coming down, so will that spray paint start coming down. And I thought, nah, I better not get that. But they really do a good sales pitch on it when you watch it. They do a really good sales pitch on the other products. And they tempt us, do they not, to maybe say, hey, I'll try that. And so you might not go online or call them up and buy it. But when you see it in the store and it's that as seen on TV column, and you think, well, I might pick. I'm just saying that sometimes those disappoint us. They don't last as long or measure up to the things that. And you know what they do? They get you lured in and tempt you into buying that product, and they'll say, but wait, there's more. The way that appears on the outside. Kind of like that info commercial. They may define it by success that comes with making the right educations, careers, right choice in marriage, and all the stuff that they can gather together. Sounds appealing, but when we chase after it, we soon realize that it's all empty, that it leaves us unsatisfied. And we continue to feel empty, incomplete, wondering if there's more to life than this. We quickly can discover that no matter how much stuff or how hard we try, the world lifestyle is not the answer for any of us. Would you agree with that? But what if there is another way, a more abundant life and satisfying? There is. What if it could be filled with joy and peace, and we could find life more richer and more fuller? A purpose and a meaning. Folks, it's no accident that you're here this morning to hear the good news of the gospel. You're in the right place. And God has you here to offer you more life and more abundantly. John 10:10. Let's look at the contrast. as Jesus has been talking about, he's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd will take good care of his sheep. In verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so, Father, we come to you seeing the contrast. God, seeing it in that perspective causes us to wonder why we would not want to trust you and place our faith in you. If the thief is only coming to steal, kill, and destroy in this fallen world, why we would not want to come to you and trust you and place our faith in you. Well, Lord, there's a spiritual battle going on even this morning. Sometimes we like to hide, deny, or even try to convince ourselves that we're okay. But Lord, according to your word, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of you. And that no matter how hard we try, we all fall. We're in desperate need of a Savior. We're in desperate need of abiding in you and you in us to bring forth more fruit. May your Holy Spirit, may you move on the hearts of us all this morning. Change our lives as only you can do that and show us more to life than what we're living right now. Souls need to be saved today. Holy Spirit, move on their hearts. Souls need to return to you and repent. Move on their hearts. Some have heavy burdens that they need to pray for and lay them at your feet today. Move on their hearts. May we not be the same as we came in. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. You see the contrast. And as you and I were to look around and compare, model, or run, or chase, whatever you want to say, Satan's amusement park, called the world, we can easily see that there's a brokenness. I mean, it doesn't take very long to see that there's a lot of chaos in our world today, would you say? There's a lot of brokenness, and some of that tries to camouflage and present something that's really not true. And sometimes we put on our mask and even come to church trying to pretend to be something that we're really not. And if we take that mask down and allow God to penetrate our hearts and to change us and to move us, we would desperately be living the abundant life. But yet, the world, if we continue to chase it, we see the brokenness. We steal the stealing, the destroying, and even the killing. I would say that there's still a battle that's raging. It's a spiritual battle, isn't it? I mean, there's a spiritual battle going on even today. You know, and if we were to look clearly behind the curtain, we would identify even more of the spiritual battle. I mean, a baby in the mother's womb is not defined as a human, according to the world. And she has the right to kill that baby. A child can make the decision that God actually made a mistake on my gender, and I can change that. Suicide at an all-high rate today. Bullying, both in person and online. Confusion about what they should do or how they should operate or what the world has to offer, even mean what happens after death. A sense of hopelessness, a sense of loneliness. And people get themselves into a place that they see no other way of escape. And they're sitting there hopeless. We see where someone that's in authority can kill a person unjustly. We see where people raise their voice to explain and try to get their opinion and their perspective out that this is totally wrong. They should not do that. And try to get people's attention. But yet they're overrun by thugs that steal, kill, and destroy and seek the opportunity of doing all those things. And yet they dilute the voice of those who are peaceably trying to get the attention to change things. We see constantly God being mocked and being cussed. And it's almost normal to even see it on TV or hear it on TV. The Bible, not viewed as being true or even relevant today. It's out of date. All the morals that God set forward have been reversed. What God said was sin, now they say is good. Hello? Families being destroyed. Leaders divided on what is right and what is wrong. And we want to call this progressive? I got a Greek word for that. You ready? I studied up on my Greek this past week. Baloney. You know what it means? It's just not true. Those that call ourselves Christians, leaning back in the righteous right chair, we'll fuss and cuss and complain and condemn, and we offer no love, no compassion, or engage in lost people's lives that are hurting and confused, and we think that that's all right. I can still use the same Greek word, baloney. Because we're so smart, we're so advanced in our thinking, and we've got so much technology, if we don't know what it is, we'll ask Google. We'll ask one of those little devices, Sirius or whatever it is, and they'll tell us, and we can ask a friend. We'll find all that stuff out. We're so advanced in our technology. And by the way, we live in a free country, so we can believe that everything that we do is right. Not so. Satan is devouring at a rapid pace. It's almost like he knows that this is his last hurrah before God says, game over. Go get your children. Hello. Folks, we better wake up and look around and see what's going on. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So don't even kid yourself. Oh, I got this. I can't be affected by this. I can't. No. When the Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, he didn't say greater are you that's in the world that you can overcome the devil and Satan. He said greater is he. So you've got to tap into he who is Christ in you. And the Holy Spirit God empowered you and equipped you to overcome. You cannot do it on your own. You know, God gives us here the hope and the love and the future for everyone who will trust Him and believe. Look at John 10, verse 1. The Bible says, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him that porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The stranger will not they follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Listen to the voice of God, not the stranger. Because the stranger wants to do, steal, kill, and destroy you. Don't be lured in by the lies. God has a hope and has a future for you. You see, more to life, there's more to a Christian follower's life than just attending church. Hello? Glad you're here today. But wait, there's more. So much more. Dig in His Word. Follow Him, talk to Him, listen to Him. I challenge you, sometime today, try this. Sometime today, get alone without any distraction for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And say, okay, God, I'm not come here this 5 minutes to ask you nothing. I just want to listen to you. 5 minutes. I just want to listen. Pause for that 5 minutes and listen to God. You see, because He offers us so much more. He offers us joy that this world cannot offer. And in the broken world, in the situations and circumstances that surround us, He says, I ain't going to leave you. I'll be with you. I'm going to help you. Come to me. Don't run from me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. That's what He's going to do. He gives us the opportunity to share. Share what He's done for us. Share with what He's given to us. To be able to share it is such a blessing. To be able to give somebody else something or offer them a testimony of how good God is. Because they need it because they're broken and lonely and hopeless. We get the opportunity of serving God. God give us all gifts, talents, spiritual gifts, to use them for the maximum glory of God. We have that peace that whenever troubles come, that He's going to be there. That the peace that passes all understanding, no matter what I'm going through, God's with me. And no matter what this world offers me, I know where I'm going. That's a praise, amen? My home doesn't have all this other stuff that this world has. It's much, much better. I have the peace. And as long as I'm abiding in Christ, I have purpose and meaning, and I can bring forth much fruit. Isn't it good when you know that you're going through the day and the presence of God is there with you? And you can just talk to Him, listen to Him. You know, you can actually be going down the road at 65 miles an hour and talk to God. Just don't close your eyes if you're driving. He's there with you. Look, if you would, at Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. I think it's just beautiful blessings of God. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth much fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Shall perish. The nourishment comes from God, from God's Word, from His presence, from the joy, from the serving, from the sharing. The presence and the nourishment is all there together. Blessed means happy are you. Satisfied. All circumstances. You know that Christ is with you and Christ can do all things through you. That brings Him glory. Meditating on God's Word, His promises, His plans. Look, if you would, at the difference as well in the contrast of Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. remembering that the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, and God came that he may give us life and give it more abundantly. In Revelation chapter 20, as we pull this into perspective, how this is all going to take place in the future. In verse 10, chapter 20 of Revelation, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works," church, "according to their works." Verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." It's coming a day that there's going to be judged by a righteous judge. There's coming a day. Look in Revelation 21. Saints of God, followers of God, those that's trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Praise be to God. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Look at verse 4, folks. Look at the promises of God here. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new." Praise be to God. He's going to make all things new. So which life do you want to live? Do you want to be lured in the temptations of the one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy? Or do you want to live the life with the one who says, I love you so much, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly? Don't be lured into the Satan's amusement park of this world. It's out there to steal, kill, and destroy. Get out of that park and turn your life back to Christ. Billy Graham in 1985, he said this in a revival, that we're all a part of Life University. There's three courses that you've got to take. The first course is life. That's where we are now. The next course that you'll have to take is death. And the last is judgment. Those are the three courses each one of us here today and those watching will have to take. How are you going to live your life? Actually will determine your death. Actually will determine whether your name is written in the book or not, and where you're going to spend eternity. So as your life, the little dash mark now, means something. Who are you trusting? Who are you abiding with? If you're here, you're playing a game, you're in the right place because Jesus is calling you today to salvation. You're playing with life. I can do that later. I can continue to play church. Don't wait. Trust Him today. Christian, follower of Christ, maybe you've been lured away by some kind of fancy ad or some kind of something that's pulled you away from your relationship with God, and you find yourself at a distance. Your relationship's standing there. He's still your Savior. But your fellowship is distant away from Him, and He's calling you today to repent, to admit, turn to Him, so that He can give you life and more abundantly. The Spirit of God's saying to us today, I have more for you, but you must trust me. You see, at this particular time in the service, there's a spiritual battle going on. And as you sit there, you're going to hear two voices. Listen to the sheep. Listen to the shepherd, sheep. Listen to the shepherd, because he says, if you will humble yourself, if you will humble yourself, I will come to you. And he's saying, come. Come to me. By doing that, you have to get up out of your pew. You have to come to an altar and say, God, I humble myself. I admit, I can't, but I know you can, and I'm going to trust you. You're here today and you're lost without Christ. What a scary time that is for you. In a troubled world that we live now, trust the one who loves you the most, has the plans for you. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for your word to us today as we listen to your Holy Spirit, to you move on our hearts this morning. May we be obedient. May we be receptive. And Lord, as we extend this invitation, there's just something about it that says more to you that we're serious when we humble ourselves before you, not worrying about what other people might say or do, just focused on you. Lord, as this world gets more chaotic and more confused, may we continually draw closer to you, and may we see the opportunity. Stop arguing about the way things are. But may we see the opportunity to share the love and the hurt and the pain. No matter what their perspective, may we share the gospel, good news. Father, may we do that and serve you until that day that we place our hands in your hands and praise you and thank you for what you have done for us. Some here today are lost without you. Holy Spirit, draw them to that salvation today. Some here today are at a distance from that fellowship with you, Lord. May they return to you today. Some have heavy hearts. I just need to ask you and to talk to you. Lord, we praise you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Please stand for this invitation. Are you? God still the same. Amen. As we dismiss, by the way,